in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for being there. We thank you that you're not silent. You have spoken. You spoke loud and clear in the Holy Scriptures. You preserved it until this day. And we have what you would have us to know. Even as recorded in thy holy word, the secret things belong unto you, but these are given for us and our children that we may know and do. And we thank you that you have given us the liberty, the blessing, the privilege of casting all our care on you, knowing that you care for us. As a father pities his children, so you pity those that fear you. We thank you that in the midst of the turbulent storms, the storms of life, the uncertainties of life, that you're there. On the mountaintop, in the valley of the shadow of death, in all the plains in between, you're the unchangeable God. Nothing takes you by surprise. Nothing catches you off guard. And we can come to you, put our trust, and put our cares into your hands. And even when we have trouble doing that, we can ask you to help us to do that. We pray that you would bless us all, particularly Jill, these next few weeks. We ask, Father, for wisdom and direction to be a strength and a support, a guide. And we thank you that as the heart of the King is in your hand, and you turneth it whithersoever you will as the rivers of water. So the surgeons, we thank you for how that you have worked so far. And we know that you can, and we pray that if it seemed good in your sight, and if it would be your will, that you would even remove the tumor. It'd be a small thing for you. Nevertheless, we must say, thy will, not ours, be done. But we're thankful that you have told us that when we go through the waters and through the fire, that you're there. You do not bring us and leave us. You carry us through. We thank you for that. Now bless us, we ask, as we look into your word, that we might honor you and that the souls of thy people be fed. In Christ we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. As we've said before, this week has been a whirlwind. And aside from the events with Jill and her tumor, which is no small thing, naturally, I've changed my mind concerning the message today three times. And trust that what I've settled on is of the Lord. I finally settled on this about 9:30 last night. So needless to say, my sleep was short this morning. But there's one thing about a minister. He must have a heart for the sheep, and he must feed them at all costs. That's my desire, to feed the sheep. First of all, to be faithful to the Lord. It's a sorry shepherd that will not care for his sheep, and certainly the Lord's shepherds are not hirelings, as our Lord said in John 10:13. Little did I realize when I was preaching about worry what we would be faced with the things that are ahead of us. But I have found, being in the ministry, that usually whatever I preach, I'm faced with living afterward. And that's as it should be. Because the ministry and the sermon should not be merely an academic lesson. It must be the life and the soul of the minister. And this is one of the things that makes the ministry first and foremost in the life. So I said all of that to say that when I said that I've changed my mind 3 times, trusting this is of the Lord, and that I was up late and had very little sleep this morning, it's not from the standpoint of woe is me. It's from the standpoint of that's my heart. That's my heart. Often we go about our daily routines giving little consideration of the overruling providence of the Lord. He continually cares for us. He continually watches over us. And as Lamentations 3 tells us, His mercies are new every morning. We wake up to a fresh supply of the mercies of God each day, and little do we know how much in His mercies that He watches over us, just taking in a day's, the breaths that we take each day, the beating of the heart, the brain activities, how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. As I think Brother Leroy and Brother Zach, by the way, both of them said, have to tell you hello, and Brother Herb, Hatfield. You know, as I was telling them about these nerves, Brother Zach and Brother Leroy both said, and they weren't on the phone at the same time, you know, they said, and just think, that all came about through evolution. You know. How foolish to think in how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to speak to us this morning concerning a refuge for all times. I want to read Psalm 27. And I want you to look at this psalm as we read and think of it as a refuge. For truly God is our refuge. He's really the only refuge we have. You know, home is to be a place of peace and quiet, serenity, blessedness, comfort, shelter. But many homes are really not homes, they're battlegrounds. But the Lord is a refuge at all times. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We might even put there, what shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Notice the thing is in italics, added by the translators. No problem with that, but the emphasis is one, first and foremost. I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When we're sailing on the sea of life, and a huge wind hits us broadside, and pretty well causes us to be turned over, capsized in the ocean of uncertainties, we must ever look to our sovereign Lord and Master and know that He is at the helm and He is the captain of our salvation. He is at the helm. And as the captain of our salvation, He has weathered many storms and will bring us through the fire and through the floods, as it's spoken of in Isaiah 43. I'd like to turn there. Think about that. Not that our Lord went through so many fires, though He did, and we'll make reference to that a little bit later. But think about every child of grace that our Lord has carried them and brought them through their trials and their afflictions. David was in trouble at this time. Isaiah 43, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Notice, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The Lord knows His people. We're not We're not a mere object in the bucket of the elect. We're not a number within the count of God. He knows His people by name. He knows His sheep by name. You've heard me give the illustration before, and I'll give it again. A book that I have of some man that was traveling in the eastern countries, and he wrote about the manners and the customs of the Bible times. And he comes up on this shepherd sitting under the shade of a tree, and he asked him, "Are all of his sheep there?" And the shepherd said, "Yes." He said, "How do you know? Have you counted your sheep today?" He said, "No, I have not counted them, but they're all there." He said, "How do you know?" He says, "Sir, if you will blindfold me and go out in the midst of my flock and get any sheep you wish and bring him to me, I can feel of his face and tell you his name." Beloved, the Lord has His children graven upon the palms of His hand. We're not just an entity. We are a beloved friend, child, brother, sister. And therefore, I have called thee by name, as He called Lazarus in the tomb, in the graveyard at that time, or at the tomb. He called him by name, "Lazarus, come forth." Not just anybody, "Lazarus, come forth." And when he comes to his children, he calls them by name and calls them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he calls them by name. And he said, "I have called thee. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters," not if, but when, children of God pass through trials and tribulations and afflictions. Those of you that are younger, you may know it a little bit, but as you get older, you'll know it more. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Now, you don't always feel like that. Many times you think God is not there. You think He's left you to yourself. But no, we must believe God and not our heart. We must believe God and not our own rational thinking. We must believe God. He says, "When you go, I'm there." And we must know that. "I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." Yea, there are times when it seems as if all you have is one nostril out of the water. And you figure that the slightest ripple of the wave will drown you and bring you to destruction. But He says, "I'm there. I'm there. The rivers shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You say, that's Old Testament. Our God is an unchanging God. He's here today. You may not feel it. You may not even know it. And if God hasn't touched your heart, you would think it foolish. But every child of grace, the captain of our salvation, has brought through the trials. And eventually, they will be brought into the fair haven of that glory world, where there will not be any trials, nor afflictions, nor pain. The Christian has a refuge. The Christian has a refuge to whom he can run and find comfort in time of trouble. Let's go back to Psalm 27. And we want to look into this psalm somewhat and to bring some of the analogies of life. We've read the psalm. Looking at verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When you're in darkness, you can't see. You don't know which way to go. I don't mean to embarrass Jill, but it's an illustration that I think is good that I just happened to think of. Many times she has said, you know, I just, with the manures, just a continual problem up and down, I just wish I knew something. If we could just put our finger on something rather than just not knowing what's the cause. What causes it? You're in darkness. You're in a trial. I'm sure each one of you, particularly if you've lived long enough, you've had a trial to come upon you, and all of a sudden you just seem like, which way do I go? What do I do? If I can just put my finger on, if I can just get a hold of it, wouldn't we like to be able to just get a hold of life and have it under control? Beloved, we cannot get a hold of life and have it under control, but our Master does. Our Master does. And in the midst of darkness and you can't see, you don't know where to go, the Lord is our light. The Lord is our light. He is our light. It's as if we were little children lost in the darkness. And here the Heavenly Father comes along and scoops us up. And we still don't know where he's going. The child is in the woods. He's lost. But Daddy knows the way out. He doesn't know how to get out. Several years ago, some of the Cannon children and the Guest children, we were over in Arkansas when Brother Tim and them lived over there. And Sister Esther, I believe, was one of the children. And I forget exactly who the other couple were. They were out in the huge, I forget how many hundred acre Milo field. And they had gotten out there playing in the midst of this, it's cornfield. And they got lost. Brother Tim and them had moved over there. We were busy unloading the truck and putting everything in the house and got ready to eat. And where are these? Sun was going down. Panic. But here were the children out in the middle of this huge, vast field. Flat land. Couldn't see. Couldn't hear. Holler, holler. The Lord is our light. They were found in the nick of time. Trials come, and the Lord delivers us in those dark times. We need not fear with the Creator of the universe guiding us. The Creator of the universe guiding us. When trials come on us, and they're more than we can bear, He gives us strength and causes us not to fear. Now sometimes we do. And then later on, we have a peace and a calm in the midst of the storm. And we wonder, am I crazy? The Lord has brought that. The Lord brings that. When the trials are so large and they seem as if we are surrounded by a huge army, we can be assured in Him. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You remember Elisha? Turn with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elijah was dead. His servant was on the scene. The Syrian army was trying to overcome Israel, and every time he would come up with a plan, the king of Syria, well, God would reveal it to Elisha, and Elisha would tell the king, and, you know, he just couldn't win for losing. He really couldn't win for losing. And so the king of Syria was going to capture Elisha. And Elisha was in Dothan. You remember Dothan? That's where Joseph's brothers sold him into Egyptian bondage. Dothan is only mentioned a couple of three times in the Scriptures. So Elisha is there in Dothan. And beginning at verse 12, without reading all of the context, and one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel." In other words, one of the servants of the king of Syria. He said, "None of us have tipped off the king of Israel, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." He thought he was being secret. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not." Is that not what David said? "Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now here he is, shut up in a city, surrounded by the Syrian army. And this man tells his servant, "There's more with us than them." Where? And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The child of grace has a host of the Lord round about him, and we need to continually to have our eyes open to the understanding of the Scriptures, that we may continually know that God is with us and we have a host that can come to our defense. You remember what our Lord said in Matthew 26 when he said, if he could summon more than 12 legions of angels. Now, how many is a legion? I'll do your math for you. During a legion varied, but during the time of Augustus Caesar, a legion consisted of 6,826 men. 6,100 of them were footmen, 726 were horsemen. That was 73,200 footmen, 8,712 horsemen if he had 12 legions. 12 legions. 81,912 angels. I tell you what, you remember during the time of the Assyrians, the Lord sent one angel during the time of Sennacherib, and that one angel killed 185,000 men in one night. Now, if one angel can take care of 185,000 men, what can 81,000 angels do? Beloved, we must trust God. You say, but what if it doesn't turn out the way we want it? We still must trust God. I would do whatever it takes if I could take the tumor and my beloved not have to go through it. My God, who is all powerful, could heal. But He says that it is best for my beloved and His glory maybe to go through it if He doesn't heal. I don't understand that. You don't understand that. But we must trust God. He is a refuge in time of trouble. The Christian can have great confidence in knowing that God is not limited in resources to provide what is needed to support and sustain in times of trial. God is not limited. We're limited. You know what? I'm not telling you anything new, but you know what? You can't even make yourself enjoy the Scriptures or enjoy praying. But we must pray and read anyway. The Christian's delight, according to Psalm 27:4, the Christian's delight is to dwell in the house of the Lord, to see the beauties of the Master, and to inquire in His temple. I thought about a sermon in light of this. I may preach sometime. What is a Christian? Or what makes a Christian? One thing about a Christian, he loves the house of God. He loves the house of God. David said, one thing I desire, that I will seek after. David is like that. I hate to use the analogy because it is so trite, but I can't think of a better one now. It is like that dog that is on the trail of the animal and it cannot be shaken. It matters not where the animal goes. The dog is still on the trail and he does not leave it. It matters not where the child of grace finds himself. He continually desires to dwell in the house of the Lord. One thing have I desired. One thing have I desired. I tell you, I can speak for myself. That's really all I can know is the things that I've seen and heard. I can be so out of sort, so frustrated, you name it, from one degree to the other. But my soul can find rest and comfort in the house of the Lord. I can find peace and direction in the house of the Lord. It is the house of God, the congregation of God, that one finds direction and comfort in time of trouble. You can be alone, having one of the best pity parties that man can come up with. Fear and trepidation overflood you, but you can come into the house of God and hear the Word of God and regain your senses. You're pointed in the right direction. You realize and know that God is there. Asaph, you remember Asaph in Psalm 73? Turn with me there for a second. Asaph's feet were almost gone and his steps had well nigh slipped until he went into the house of God. Notice Psalm 73, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. In verse 17, until I went into the house of God, then understood I therein. But he didn't have understanding until he went to the house of God. He thought everybody had it better than he did. And he particularly thought the world had it better than the Christian. Until he went to the house of God. Those two words in Psalm 73:2, gone and slip. Gone is natal. It means to stretch out, to spread out, to extend. Have you ever thought you were stretched to your limit? Asaph said, I was well nigh stretched to my limits. My feet were well nigh gone. The word slipped is to pour out, to spill. I'm stretched to the limits, and my soul is just spilt out everywhere. This was Asaph. And when we're stretched out and made to feel that we're on the rack and can go no further, we need to flee to the house of the Lord. It is there that we are pointed in the proper direction. It is there that we see how to pour out our souls properly. This is where Asaph learned to think properly to the glory of God. In Psalm 70. There in 73, we'll read the last beginning at verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold of me by my right hand. God continues to hold. You know the little child sometimes, he wants to hold daddy's hand. And he thinks that everything's all right because he's holding on to daddy's hand. And all he can think about is the pressure of his own hand holding on. But then he stumbles. And he would lose his grip because of the smallness and the weakness of his muscular tones. But it is daddy's hand that holds him and keeps him from falling. Ah, our God is there. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Oh, if God would send a letter. If God would just tell me what to do. We have, see it? I hold it before you. We have the counsel of God. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. See, Asaph knew that he couldn't do it. He didn't have the strength. His heart wasn't totally fixed. He was a sinner. My flesh, my heart fails. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God is a refuge. God is a refuge. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may desire all thy works. Yes, Asaph, like we, had well nigh slipped till he went into the house of God. It is under the preaching of the gospel. It is also under a daily reading of the Word of God, a daily devotion with God, continual prayer to God, that we keep our senses. David, too, knew that his comfort and consolation in time of trouble was in the tabernacle. Notice what he said in verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Here the saint finds strength and a sure foundation to keep him from sinking into the mire of self-pity. So I don't have self-pity. Yes, you do. There's not a one of us in here in this building that has graduated from self-pity. I probably have more pity parties than anybody. But we must ever come back to God and put our thinking right according to the Word of God. You can't trust your feelings. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't trust your emotions. But you can trust the Word of God. And He says, I'm with you. And I will never leave you in the midst of the hottest flame and in the midst of the deepest ocean. I'm there. But what if? You can what if till the Lord comes back and have no answers. God said, I'm there. Listen to Him. Listen to His Word. Obey Him. You will have peace and consolation. You will have a refuge for your soul. In the house of God, one finds that comfort and that strength in time of trouble. The enemies do not know this, but we can run to the house of God. Here it is that the troubled saint can offer what? The troubled saint can offer praises to God. Praises to God. Someone said, I can't go through that. You can only if God calls you to it. And then He will bear you up. But individually, no one can go through anything. I'm not through, but I must close. Lord willing, we'll finish this afternoon. But the answer to life's trials is Christ. The answer to your problem, the answer to your darkness, the answer to your despair, the answer to your direction in which you must go is God and His holy word. Christ is a very present help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, our hearts rejoice, are filled with comfort and are much encouraged. May these thoughts flood our minds tomorrow, maybe the next hour. When we've taken our eyes off this. And yes, our God, as we have ever tried to do, we're quick to say, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. And yet we must say, thy will be done. The Lord will we shall do this or that. Thank you for your infallible word, the divine inspiration, what you would have us to know, how you would have us to live, is given in this holy book. Ah, we beg thee, to bless us as we endeavor to hide it in our hearts that we not sin against thee. In Christ we pray. Amen.